Welcome, everyone, in the internet land to another
torturous edition of the Hour Bomb.
I'm sorry, what?
Torturous.
What the hell does that even mean?
It means that we're marked by retreat, period, twists, bends, and turns. We're an epic with all kinds of zigs and zags. We're like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Where the hell did you find that at?
It's actually the Webster Dictionary word of the day.
Wow. Okay,
so welcome to another whatever the fuck word Adrian found edition of the Hour Bomb. I am your host, the intellectual savior of the network, and 2013 TWL Personnel of the Year, the illustrious Jason Halbert. Thank you.
You're an embarrassment to the performers.
Shut up. Joined, as always, by my partners in crime.
The Big Bad Booty Daddy!
Oh, sorry for deafening everyone.
That's right, the Big Adrian Masters here to remind everyone to please don't point laser pointers at airplanes. It's a federal crime.
Yes, that is true. I agree, folks. Yeah, that's a terrible thing.
What the hell? No, since when the hell have we become a PSA for pointing not pointing lasers in?
I gotta tell this story because it's kind of funny. Remember, I went and saw a movie this afternoon. There was literally a thing that came up on the screen right before the movie started. It said, "Hey, remember, don't point laser pointers at aircrafts because it's a federal crime."
Oh my god!
Yes, it is true. I can attest to this because I saw it twice on Friday.
I was watching. Like, why the fuck are they telling me that right before I'm watching a movie?
I know. It's like, okay, we're not even going to be outside.
And the Jizzmopper.
Sweet Heath, Jason Heath.
That's...
You know what? I'll take silence. I'll take the crickets.
All right, good.
It's better than you usually get.
I know.
So you saw that movie twice on Friday?
No. I saw two different movies on Friday.
They show PSAs before you go see gay midget porno?
Really? Yes, they
are. You snuck into the video booth at your work, didn't you? Mopping up all the jizz. That's how he spends his coffee breaks.
Uh-huh.
He's a box of tissues, and he checks out in the back with a thing of lotion and a box of tissues. I don't know what that's all about, but hey.
I did hear from his boss, though, that they were experiencing a very high loss in boxes of tissues, and they couldn't quite figure out why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
what kind of sick son of a bitch steals tissues?
I don't know. I know it can't be Heath. Because you know why?
Why is that?
You have a vagina! You have a vagina!
That's why, Heath. From our own correspondent, CM Punk.
I mean, I guess he could wipe with them.
Are you a squirter? Does your vagina squirt, Heath?
Man, they're really ripping on me.
We are. So how the fuck you guys been?
We know.
I've been better.
Ah.
I've doing pretty good. I'm excited about tomorrow. Get a new car. It'll be fun.
About goddamn time. You're gonna look
I get a car made in this century. It's amazing.
Holy shit. Yeah. You're getting a cop car, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting a Chevy Impala.
It's gold like the sheriffs out here, aren't they, too?
It's kind of more of a beige. Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. Good job. So, you have to... Well, you'll have to take me for a ride, but you'll have to make Heath pay for it later.
All right, fair enough.
Rules of the road.
No.
Zip.
How have you been, Heath?
Like I said, I've been better.
Why? What's wrong, buddy?
Let's see.
The return of the Holy One?
In a sense, except, you know, this one actually requires stitches, so...
That sucks.
Yeah, for those that do not know, I had a growth removed from my head, and come to find out it was basal cell carcinoma. Luckily, it's a non-melanoma type of skin cancer, but they had to actually go back a second time to try to remove more from my head. So I have an even bigger set of stitches on my head now.
Nice.
Yeah, and it definitely was painful enough that I was actually given a prescription for hydrocodone.
Sweet.
Thank God.
So, for all of you needing your prescription needs filled, contact Jay. Just kidding. I'm going to have federal agents knocking at the door tomorrow.
Yeah.
The use of recreational drugs is not encouraged by the ARBA.
At least not on the air. Anyway, yeah.
But so, otherwise, luckily, I'm supposed to be getting my stitches out Thursday.
Good. Well, this week wasn't too bad for me. I got to go see Motley Crue and Alice Cooper at our outdoor concert venue that I'm not going to say the name because they don't pay us to say their name.
No, they don't.
So, you mean Verizon Wireless?
We'll just say the V-Dub.
Yeah, okay, fine. The V-Dub.
I just still call it Riverport.
Yeah, I know. Remember that time several years ago when on The Point, Jeff and Tom still had their afternoon show, and they were plugging a concert or whatever, and they called it the V-Dub, and we were on our way to a convention, and they had to read an apology on the air to Verizon Wireless because they kept calling it the V-Dub, and they were told they could never call it that again.
Wow.
We were all on our way to, we were in your van, we had just gotten off the Collinsville, going to probably a DICON or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got to go see that, and it was really... Alice Cooper was really fucking good.
Yes, he was.
Motley Crue. Yeah. Going back and listening to those videos.
Yeah, I know. You could kind of hear... I think they tuned on that one throughout the whole concert.
They have not aged well?
No, the other members of Tommy Lee and... Nikki Six and Mitch, fuck, whatever the hell his name is, the other guy. They were fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Neil, not so much. Like, if you go and watch the videos that Heath posted online, you can kind of hear, because we couldn't hear, they had the sounds all fucked up. And if you go back and listen, you can kind of hear how out of breath he is, and he's just kind of going, so the words and stuff.
Yeah.
At one point, it sounded like he was singing every other word. Vince Neil, not so good. And, you know, I'm going to get on a little tangent right now. Here's my non-wrestling related what stinks. You know what? They didn't give Tommy Lee a goddamn fucking drum solo.
No, they didn't.
They gave the guitar player one, and it sounded like shit.
Yeah.
I didn't like his guitar solo.
Okay. And, they needed a drum solo.
And I think I'm in love.
I think I know who it is.
Oh, my God. So Alice Cooper's got this... guitar player. She's 27 years old. Her name's Nita Strauss.
God.
Oh, my God. First off,
this chick can wail.
Oh, I don't care about that. She's hot as hell.
What's and that's a boot.
I believe it's Nita or Nina Strauss. Googler. She was on Guitar Magazine's top 10 female guitarists that we should know about. She was number one.
No wonder Alice has her.
Yeah, if you go to Wikipedia and Google and search for Alice Cooper, you can find who's playing with him now. But Jesus Christ, she is.
Yeah.
She's damn. Yeah, she's hot, man. Very hot.
Anyway. Okay. Well, you're actually trying to look it up, aren't you?
Yes.
Nita Strauss.
I'm looking into it, yeah.
Yeah, that's her. Let's look at images. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Here we go.
No wonder Alice Cooper has her.
Let's do this.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a link in the chat for you of her. She's hot. Anyway, for those of you listening on the download, just Google Nita Strauss. And
yes. N-I-T-A.
Yes.
Strauss.
Anyway, I think I'm in love. Her guitar solo was badass, but God, she was hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And well, anyway, that was a good show tonight. We'll see you guys later. anyway, I guess.
I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah, I'll be in my bunk. I get. Holy shit. We have people in the chat room.
Well, we granted, do?
Two of the four people are me and you, Adrian. So,
all right.
Who else we got in the chat room?
We got the TWR original.
Bulk up.
I think he's probably just logged in still, though. I don't think he's really here.
Yeah, I don't think they
bulk up anyway. Okay.
Axel Rocks.
Hey, bulk up.
Our newest one, listener.
Yes.
And two anonymous users.
Fuck them.
Nice. All right. We'll send out.
I will go ahead and do our show plugs for the network real quick, and then you can tell them how it works and all that shit.
All right.
All right. So this Wednesday, we have a special Shooting from the Hip on where you can join the original Dan Phelps, Sean Big Daddy Brown, and I believe Paul Jordan will be sitting in for Michael Classic this week.
Holy shit. Wow.
That's going to be, I think, at 8, 7 Central. So tune in for that. That'll be a good show. Then, of course, your regular weekend lineup, you'll have.
Hey, we got someone else in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Pickles.
Hey, buck up to Mr. Pickles.
Yay, Mr. Pickles.
I don't know if we've had Mr. Pickles on just an hour bomb. I think he showed up for one of the hour bombing from the hips.
Maybe.
Yep. And I think he might have been there for a couple of pre-post shows at some point, too.
All right. Anyway, go ahead. So you just covered a special edition Wednesday night show.
Yes, special edition Wednesday night show. You can tune in with Paul Jordan, Dan Phelps, and Sean Brown.
I think they're going to have an announcement about our website, too.
They are going to be talking about changes on the website, which are coming soon, so tune in for that. It's can't miss.
Internet radio.
Then Saturday, you have at 9, 8 Central, you're going to have the Wrestling Niche with the most racist man on the network, Kyle Robinson, and the angry Aborigines, Jake Mullins.
If he's not, Kyle will be there if he's not doing a gay motorcycle scooter thing.
Yeah, that's true. And then Sunday, of course, you have a double dose of wrestling shows on here. You'll have Shooting from the Hip. I don't know what time they're doing it on Sunday, though.
I don't know. Sunday is your all-star lineup day.
Yes. You get Shooting from the Hip, followed by us at 10:45, 9:45 Central, where we do whatever we pretty much want.
All right.
I can't really say anything else about us, you know?
We're the most interactive show on the network.
And yes. Mr. Pickles usually podcasts well. Well, we appreciate you tuning in tonight, man. We really do.
We do. Yes. Thanks for being there.
Thank you.
We are the most interactive show on the network. We are the all-star. We carry this network on our shoulders.
We try to, anyway.
And we don't do it so well sometimes, but we try to. So, this portion of the Hour Bomb is sponsored by my wife, Esther, because we have homemade brownies from my wife.
Yes.
Made from scratch brownies.
They are damn good brownies.
Well, there's some leftovers tomorrow.
Fuck you, they're not.
All right, well, I guess, you know, someone will get to take the ride in the car.
You're getting head from Heath afterwards, so it's worth a few.
You know, I'd rather have the brownies. The beard here is just too ticklish, man.
Oh, God. Do they include? No, they do not include THC. They are not special brownies. Anyway. I want to give a special shout-out to... my boss again. I asked him if he listened to last week's show.
And he did.
He did listen to the show, and he enjoyed the fact that I got you a new phone that fell off the truck. We're not currently investigating me at work. I appreciate that.
Great. Oh,
you know what? You're quite welcome. No wonder you're doing more in sales if you're just giving them away off the truck. I mean.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, jeez.
So, anyway, and he appreciated the Golden Ball Cup. We don't hand those out very often.
No,
so
we don't.
He did appreciate the Golden Ball Cup.
Those are very well-reserved.
They are. So, here's how this show works. For our returning listeners and people that download the show, because no one fucking shows up except for a few people here, and we thank those people. For those of you that tune in usually, thanks. Yeah, all that good stuff. For our first-time listeners, here's how this show works. I have a whole list of shit I got to get through, and I really do have a list. I've got 1 hour. That's 60 minutes for those of you keeping track at home to make it through the list. These two assholes and the chat, as usual, are going to try to derail me and make it to where I can't complete my list. So, yeah, I think we're going to start the show. Like, I think we should probably maybe start talking wrestling, guys. You want to do
Let's
that?
Let's do this.
Heath, you got anything else?
Nope, I am good.
I'm going to wait till I finish this bite before I start the timer here, so hold on.
You going to ask me if I have anything?
Well, hold on.
He's got to get through this.
Axel Rock says, I stumbled through here looking for respect in the map. Appreciate it. Actually, it probably is really what happened. Well, yeah, keep an eye out for a new podcast showing up from our very own Greg Snuffleupagus called Respect the Map. That'll be debuting soon. So, all right.
Is that what they finally got a name for that thing? That's awesome.
Yeah, Respect the Map. I got an invite last week to like it. I'm like, why the fuck am I going to like another podcast? I'm like, I don't know who this is. And I found out it was Greg. I'm like, oh, whoops, click.
Let's see. Yeah, let me look here. I don't know whether to favorite that, I guess. All right, tune in to Respect the Map whenever that ends up being on. I think he was going for Thursday nights, but I don't know a time yet. So.
Well, no one watches Impact, so that's a good night for him. Yeah. Anyway, Heath, you got nothing else. Adrian, yep. You got anything else?
I found a growth.
Another one?
It was on Heath's forehead. You don't know why it was there? I teabagged him.
Oh, really? All right, let's start the timer.
Wow.
I know you usually are the one that says, you know, start the timer, but yeah, I'll be the one to say it this time.
Yeah.
By the way, I guess I didn't realize this. Next week we have a pay-per-view on Sunday night too, so we'll be doing our official post show.
We do. Teabag, extra cream. There you go. And Greg is a treasure trove of wrestling knowledge. He is. Anyway, another Monday Night Raw.
Now get the cards, the charts from my generation. I'll take the win. Come on, come on.
Monday Night Raw for July 7th. Nothing good happened. All right, so moving on.
No, there was some good stuff, I think, that happened. This is actually, if I remember right, one of the better Raws we've had in recent weeks.
It was. It wasn't bad at all. The fuck did happen? My Mondays are so goddamn confused right now. It's not even funny.
Well, I mean, that's when there was a lot. I mean, we had a lot going on, so...
For the 47th time in the last month, we had Eric Rowan and Luke Harper against the Usos.
And it was another good match. I mean, you can't complain about the match quality, at least.
No, we can complain about the repetitiveness of them.
Well, when your tag team division is three teams, or four teams, there's not a lot of changing around you can do, really. That's kind of the problem right now, is they don't have a big tag division.
Yeah, all right.
Gotta take what you can get.
Let's see here. That was 2 weeks ago that Swagger turned face. Oh, that's right. He wasn't on Raw this week because he still has troubles getting across the border. I find that ironic. He wants to cross the border, and he can't.
Yep.
Randy Orton against Dean Ambrose. That was actually a decent match from Randy Orton.
Yeah, it was. That was actually probably the best match of the night. It was really, really good.
Let's see here. Another good showing from Dean Ambrose. Oh, I remember the big thing. Bret Hart made his return to Monday Night Raw.
Yes, he did.
And also Bret Sandhart.
Yes. Which Bret Sandhart got his ass beat by Sheamus. That was funny, though. Me being the biggest Bret Hart fan, for Damien Sandow to dress up like Bret. I would like to have known, you know, hey, Bret, so how do I pull off Bret Hart? That would have been funny.
Yeah, I'm sure that was definitely going on in the back.
Let's see. More Fandango bullshit. What was the big things that happened? Oh, The Miz against Jericho. That was a good fucking match.
Yes. We had a tag team match between Paige and AJ Lee against the Cameron and Naomi.
And the Funkadactyls are no more.
They finally broke up.
Thank God. Yes. Let's see. The big thing after the Miz and Jericho match was Bray Wyatt and Jericho going back and forth. And He's Bray Wyatt asked Jericho how he's going to save an entire universe when he can't even save himself.
That's actually a fair question. I don't know how it is.
And then he's like, oh, it's just me and you, so I'm going to come down there. I'm going to kick your ass. Really? You really think that Harper and Rowan aren't lurking somewhere? Lights go out, and guess who's standing behind Bray? Guess who pussed out? Jericho. You know what, Chris Jericho? I got a little message for you.
You have a vagina! You have a vagina!
Next time you think you got balls of steel, don't mouth off to the Wyatts.
Nope.
What the hell are they doing with Paige and AJ?
You know, this is a really weird dynamic, and I would think it's gotta end with Paige turning heel, I would think. That makes the most sense to me. I'm not sure where they're going with it, though. I really don't.
Your guess is as good as mine at this point.
I like it, though.
Well,
My opinion, because, I mean, shoot, you got two of the best diva wrestlers right there tag teaming together.
So, right now we have five matches announced for the pay-per-view.
Well, we're not going to the pay-per-view yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yes. Cesaro's still on his losing streak. Seth Rollins against John Cena. What?
I don't get the Cesaro losing streak. It doesn't make sense.
Well, from my source, Dave Meltzer, there's a 50% chance that Cesaro is going to come out of this okay, and there's also a 50% chance that he's not going to come out of this okay. So you heard here first from Dave Meltzer that Cesaro either is going to come out of this losing streak okay or is not. Dynamite reporting from Dave Meltzer. Yes. Anyway, we are totally going to get a cease and desist.
Anyway. One of these days we will.
Anyway, Cena against Seth Rollins. That was actually a good match until John Cena wins by disqualification. And then we get all four guys from the main event out there fighting. Reigns hits a Superman punch on Kane, which was awesome. And then I'm not really sure what was going on at the end with Reigns holding up Cena's hand and Cena holding up Reigns. I don't understand.
Here's what I think happened there, and this might be just a snafu on WWE's part. I think that really wasn't meant to be on TV.
Oh, you think it was supposed to be one of those after?
Yeah.
And you think they screwed it up?
Yeah, that's just my general impression. I kind of got it felt like the cameras ran a little too long, or it ended a little too early. I think that's what happened.
Okay, makes sense. I'm trying to think if there's anything that happened on SmackDown that we need to talk about. Not really.
Anything on main event?
No. Hey. Oh, yeah, there was actually something on main event. Okay. Sheamus and Del Rio in a last minute standing match for the United States Championship. I like what they're doing with the main event. It's an hour-long show, and they're cramming it with... They're actually putting decent stuff on there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, because there wouldn't be people to buy into watching on the network.
And it's pretty decent, so I'll take it, you know? But that was actually a really fucking good match between those two. Del Rio actually looked good. Sheamus didn't disappoint.
Hang on. I was going to talk about this from SmackDown real quick.
Okay.
Bo Dallas defeats Diego and El Trito in a handicap match, so he goes on to become 15 in Bo.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Have I mentioned how many times I really can't fucking stand him anymore?
Maybe a few times.
Can't stand Bo Dallas. Thank you, Axl Rocks. I have to agree.
Yes.
Bo Dallas is horrible. So we're going to move on, fellas. We're done with Raw.
Wow. I gotta say it. I like Bo Dallas. I love it. I don't know why. It's this. I like it.
Oh, from what I understand, Adam Rose is safe because Santino's gone, so someone needs to fill in that comic relief. So it's probably gonna be Adam Rose.
So everybody can continue going on being rosebuds.
Yes, we can. It's time for everyone's favorite segment of What Stinks. This is where we're just going to bitch about what we don't like about the weekend wrestling. I'm going to go first because I got a big one.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My problem I have here. Have you guys heard that they have signed Japanese wrestler Kenta? K
Kenta?
Yes. He's actually really good. If you YouTube him, you can find some. He's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's actually really, really good.
I get that. I really do get that they, you know, sign this and it's a really big deal. They had Hulk Hogan go over to Japan to announce it and everything.
Okay.
Do not text me at 6:45 in the morning on a Saturday morning to announce you've signed a Japanese guy that we knew about months ago.
Yeah, wow.
You got a text?
I got right here. Because Vince McMahon listens to the show, so he sends me text messages. Well, unfortunately, because Vince McMahon sends me text messages, I got signed up for their text message club. And I'm sitting here looking at it.
Oh, dear God.
I've got to wait for it to pull up here. Yeah. Break up. God damn it. Stupid text message. Breaking news. Oh, no. I stand corrected. It wasn't 6:45. It was 6:10. Breaking news. WWE signed signed Japanese superstar Kenta to a contract at a WWE live event in Okinawa, Japan. I don't care. Don't fucking text me at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Wow.
Wow.
Go ahead, guys. You guys are next.
I'll let Heath go for next.
I don't know if I could top that.
I got that. It's hard to sometimes wake me up. Sometimes any little thing can wake me up. That fucking woke me up. And guess who couldn't really fall back asleep afterwards?
You.
This guy.
Yeah.
6 o'clock in the fucking morning. We knew about this at least a month ago. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I can't go back to sleep. I'm like, well, I know what my fucking wet stinks is. Fuck you, Vince McMahon. Go for it, Heath.
Wow. Well, kind of lost my train of thought there.
I think my blood pressure is like sky high right now.
It is, apparently. My what stinks is just kind of in general towards creative.
Okay.
And just the fact that the storylines as of late is just kind of leaving a lot of us wondering what in the heck are they doing? I mean, do they have a plan for all of this? I mean, because it seems like it's building on every storyline that there's something that is... Okay, what's going on?
I don't know. I think I agree with you to a point. However, my thing is, what's with the repetitiveness of the story, of the matches? Because we got the Usos against the Wyatts. We've got a combination of the Rhodes Boys against Crybaxel. And we have that every week. I'm starting to get tired of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Adrian, you're up.
All right, so, hey, do you remember, like, a week or so ago whenever Summer Rae was, like, supposed to be starting this thing with Dolph?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they threw all that out the window on SmackDown.
No. Oh,
so Summer Rae comes out with Adam Rose for his match for Rose versus Fandango.
So Summer Rae's getting around backstage, huh?
Hang on. Layla and Summer Rae get into it outside the ring before the match started. Fandango gets beat because he gets counted out because he's trying to separate the fight. So it ends up having a match with Layla and Summer Rae with Fandango as a special guest referee. A rematch from Money in the Bank.
That's because didn't we see this match?
Then Layla and Summer Rae both turn on Fandango and beat him down into the middle of the ring.
Why?
That's just what happened.
So Layla and Summer Rae are now lesbian scissor sisters?
Apparently, are a team of some kind. There is a nice picture of them kissing on the internet that you can find.
You need to link that shit.
Hang on, I'll see if.
Did
I
you
can
know
find
Layla's fucking old? She's like 37.
I know. She's my age. Just
she's
about.
Fucking old, but she is hot.
I know.
When she first showed up, I'm like, oh my god, she's nasty because she had the fucking curly hair and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then she straightened her hair, and I'm like,
I know.
I'd let her dance on my pole.
Yeah. Like you and every other guy.
So I don't know. I just really don't know what to say about this whole thing. With
yeah, I don't know either.
So it kind of makes you wonder. It's like, okay, where are they going to go with Fandango then?
I don't know. Who cares if she's a year away from AARP? She can still get it. So Heath, have you gotten your AARP card yet in the mail?
No.
You've already got
I'm
it.
Still
used
young.
It. You've already used it. It's okay.
I'm still young.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Go sit there and enjoy your senior citizen coffee at McDonald's.
Please.
Anyway, I guess we're going to move on.
Can you dig it, sucker?
It's time for Can You Dig It? If you can't tell by the music. We've been doing this 67 episodes. Some people have been listening since episode one. Probably not, but I'm going to assume there is at least some people. They know what the music is.
Did we have this on the first episode?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen. I don't think we did.
I was going to say, it was definitely one of our first segments that we added in. That's for sure.
I think this was in the planning meeting that we had this figured out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have a link in the chat now, Jason.
Okay. Can you dig it? Heath is going to get a hard-on from this.
Yes, I can dig that.
Ow, ow. It almost looks like she's Layla's grabbing her tits, too.
I know. They need to clean it up better, though.
Who cares?
That's awfully blurry.
Yeah, who cares? Anyway, Heath. All right, who's going first?
All right, I guess I'll go first.
All right, go first.
Can't you dig this? Antonio Cesaro, your new Intercontinental Champion.
Someone took the easy way out tonight. I don't know, who the hell all is in that match?
Oh, let me tell you. I have the card pulled up here. Give me just a second.
All right.
Announced at this point in time, you have Rob Van Dam, Damian Sandow, Alberto Del Rio, Fandango, Ryback, Curtis Axel, Big E, Kali, Kofi, Sheamus, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, and Dolph Ziggler.
You're saying Cesaro?
Yeah.
I can half dig it, only because I haven't gone my Can You Dig It yet. So I can half dig it.
Okay.
Heath?
Has there been a Divas match set up for Battlefield yet?
Hey, asshole. Can you dig Adrian's or not?
But anyway, yeah, I can dig it.
I love how... Hey, Heath, can you dig it? Is there a Divas match set up yet? Anyway. All right, it's my time. Can you dig it? Sheamus wins the Battle Royal, and they unify the mid-card titles.
I can't dig it.
Really?
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think so.
All right, whatever. I think it could happen.
I just can't see it yet, because, I mean, the Intercontinental title still has some prestige to it.
Right. So the U.S. title goes away and they defend the Intercontinental title from now on. Or they call it the United States Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that.
It's the stupidest WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I know. Don't put it past creative to do that. So, but yeah, I don't think they would. At the very least, they would not get rid of the Intercontinental title, period.
No, and you would think.
Yeah, anyway. I would think.
All right, Heath, now you may go. The answer to your question is yes. On SmackDown Friday night, it was announced that Paige will fight AJ Lee for her newly won Divas title.
Hmm. And I doubt very seriously they'll change that up. Ah, damn it.
Well, what's your Can You Dig It?
Well, my Can You Dig It was going to be us see a four-way diva match between AJ Lee, Paige, Summer Rae, and Layla.
Yeah, no, not happening.
I mean, if they were going to do anything like that, I would see them doing it with Cameron and Naomi.
But I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either, though, yeah.
You know, do you guys think the only reason Cameron's still around is because she's on Total Divas?
Probably.
But
they got rid of JoJo. Well, I don't know if they actually released JoJo, but I know that like she isn't on Total Divas really at all anymore.
I don't think they released her. They just took her off and swapped her out with Summer Rae. So. All right, we're going to move on, fellas.
Do we have anything in the chat?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, right. Do not.
So.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Damn it, I only got two out there. Wow. Welcome to TWR After Dark, where burping is a thing, apparently. So, after another week in the bet here, we've got some updated standings.
Yes.
Things are getting a little closer between Heath and us. Team Jizmopper, 134 points. Congratulations.
Yes, I gained some
ground. Team Me, Team Awesome, 154. And Team Adrian, 156 points.
Hanging on by a thread.
Just barely. Yes. Still don't really know what we're playing for, but we're playing for something. Haven't figured out what yet. Anyone want to make any changes?
I don't think so, not yet.
What's my roster sound like again? Let me hear it.
Crap, 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 and crap. Roman Reigns, Bo Dallas, Adrian Neville, Cesaro, Stardust, and I think we picked Jimmy. You picked Jimmy Uso? You said just throw one on there, so I threw Jimmy on there.
Okay. I think I'm going to get rid of the Uso.
Already?
Yeah, I don't think I made a good choice on picking him up.
Okay, who are you picking?
All right, I am going to take a chance here, and I'm going to pick up Paige.
All right. If I can find the cursor. Where the hell did I put the goddamn cursor?
I think Paige turns heel and somehow beats AJ at the pay-per-view, so I'm going to gamble on it.
All right. Good luck. Not happening. Heath, you gonna make any moves?
No, I think I'm going to stay for right now.
All right.
Since I did gain some ground, I'm going to keep riding it out.
All right. I think I'm good. I may drop an NXT person eventually. I might drop Charlotte. I don't know. She hasn't impressed me on my team. If she just would have picked up a win, I'd be in first. One more extra win. But I'm good. All right, so we're going to move on.
Yep.
It's time for America's favorite game show. Not Price is Right, not Let's Make a Deal. Hell, not even Jeopardy, but Jizz Jams.
Jizz Jams, Jesus.
Here's how this game works. We're going to play the Jizz Mopper 3 theme songs. If he can successfully guess 2 out of 3, he wins himself a shit-free show. Why are you shooting yourself in the head already?
Do I ever win? There's only been 2 times in the history of the show that I have ever won.
In a year and a half, he's won twice.
Yes.
Well,
this is our 67th show.
Yeah, we started this like last summer.
Heath, do you think you have a good chance of winning?
I don't think I do.
Well, I was hoping that you were going to say you did.
Because I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Which apparently is why they also don't ask Bad News Barrett to go to Make-A-Wish Kids.
I saw that story.
What?
Well, we're going to cover that one.
Okay.
Anyway, you ready, Heath?
Okay, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Feel free to play along in the chat because he can't see the screen.
That is true.
First theme starts now.
Well, I'm going to first think it's a diva.
And your time starts now. Mr. Pickles, you are wrong.
Now I'm trying to think of which diva probably would have that type of song.
I'm going to guess, and I might be wrong.
Adrian, you are correct.
Yes.
Can he guess it? No, he can't. We need an answer. You have a lifeline.
Oh, God. Was it at least after the Attitude Era?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I figured. Michelle McCool?
The correct answer we were looking for was Eve Torres.
Eve Torres. Okay.
I was going to say, you should remember Eve. Big old titties. She served as... Well, what the hell was she for John Laurinaitis?
His assistant. That was when she started as.
Yeah.
She was Zack Ryder's girlfriend and...
Yeah. You know, you'll know Eve Torres.
Adrian, yeah, I mean, I know Eve Torres. Don't get me wrong. I know Eve.
Well, Adrian, for shits and giggles, put a half-naked picture of Eve Torres in the chat for me.
Yeah, for whenever we're done.
Yes. You ready for number two?
I guess so.
All right. Hello. So all my girls in the club say home. Cause you know just how we do. Side to side, one to back. If you wait, take it back. The satisfaction. I think I know who this is, if I remember correctly.
My source might be incorrect, because I don't think this is who it's listed as.
Mr. Pickles is right.
That's what I was thinking. And your time starts now.
Kelly, Kelly.
You have a Oops. Vagina! You have a vagina!
Well, what? She does have a vagina.
Yeah, that's true. She does. I liked Kelly Kelly.
Well, it had it listed as a Candace Michelle Candace Michelle theme from Reckless. But that was as soon as I hit it, I'm like, wait, that's not Candace Michelle.
No, that would not be Candace. I was like, that's Kelly Kelly.
All right,
like, holy shit.
So you ready for song number three? This one will make you break you.
I know. God, I actually have a very slight chance.
Anyway, all right, you ready?
I am ready.
Adrian is correct.
Adrian, do I even have a chance?
Well, I don't know, but your time starts now.
Wrong one. You're having trouble with the soundboard over there.
I am. Shut up and start guessing.
Shit.
Hurry up and get this one wrong.
Gee, thanks.
He's a douchebag, yes he is. He likes to mop jizz for money, yes he does. He is kind of gross, cause he likes to lick it up.
Wow!
That's amazing.
I need an answer.
God.
No way!
That was very tortuous.
I definitely don't know who this is, but I'm just going to say Jacqueline.
The correct answer we were looking for was Alundra Blaze.
Ah.
Well, that is a half-naked picture of Candace Michelle. Or of Eve Torres.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know, I forget how much I miss her.
See, this is probably why I would not remember her theme song, because I was too busy looking at her body.
She was hot. Yeah. I think those are those eyes.
That's
probably the tits.
I was actually surprised I would have won this week.
I know. I guess. Let's see.
I gotta be honest, Jason. My first one on Eve Torres was a blind guess. I was just like, I'll go with that.
That's a good guess. And judges, we have a result.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Gene Wilder. I've got him on payroll. He sits here in the studio with us every week just to say those lines.
Wow.
I pay him in pot.
And he sounds just as good as he did back in the 70s whenever that movie was made.
I know. I pay him with pot. So,
what movie is this? Is that Blazing Saddles?
No. It's Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. I know
Factory.
What it is. Dumbass. I'm fucking with you.
No, you probably didn't. You're like, oh, it's Blazing. Oh, yeah, you're right. We're going to move on. New segment.
Yes.
For the show. It's time for This Week in Wrestling History with your teacher, Adrian Masters.
Thank you. Now, there's actually some significant things that happened this week. In July 9th, 1959, Kevin Nash was born.
Wow.
Came the good old cuz. Big Sexy came out of the big dark hole.
Yeah, July 12th, 1977, Brock Lesnar, the man who ended The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania, was born in Webster, South Dakota.
What year?
1977.
So what I would like to do...
So he's only older than me than by, like, 2 weeks.
What I would like to do is go back in time to, like, October of 1976 and tell his mom to swallow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, snap.
You have the right to remain burned.
That's right, Brock, you got burned.
I would love for you to go to Brock Lesnar's face and say that.
Actually, what I would really like to do is go to right around that same time frame and tell Heath's dad to pull out.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did miss this one, so this one's also...
the best part of you, Heath dribbled down your mom's leg.
Oh, wow. I missed this one. Sean, I ripped my asshole. Open Walton was born in Minneapolis on July 13th, 1972.
Oh, God. I love you, Heath.
So, yeah. I think Heath actually fell out of Sean Waltman's ripped asshole.
You had it easy the last few shows. We're making up for it.
July 12th, 1984, the wrestler, the man known as Rami Sebi was born, better known as El Generico and Sami Zayn.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you upset with us?
I'm biding my time.
Oh, Brock Lesnar is a poster child for late-term abortion, like 5 years too late. Go ahead.
July 8th, 1985, the first ever WWF King of the Ring tournament was held, won by Don the Rock Morocco.
All right.
Cool.
I feed you on a weekly basis, Heath.
We're going to jump ahead a few years at this point here.
All right.
Okay. Going up into July 7th, 1996.
The July 7th, 1996. I know what happens there. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Let's come back to that one.
Are you want me to save that one?
Come back to that one.
Okay. July 9th, 2000, this was Hulk Hogan's last appearance in WCW, where Jeff Jarrett laid in the middle of the ring and Hogan pinned him. And a few minutes later, Virgil came out to the ring and announced that would be the last time he'd ever see that piece of shit in WCW again, which turns out he was right.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
All right. Continue.
And
I think that one from 1996 is the highlight of
and the
of this
and
one.
The biggest news of event in history would be on July 7th, 1996. WCW held the Great Bash the Beach pay per view, in which at this point we all know the NWO was born at that pay per view.
Yes. One of the greatest factions in wrestling history.
The NWO, if it was a person, would be old enough to smoke cigarettes legally this week.
Nice. Happy with the NWO. Yes.
If you didn't feel old, Jason, there you go.
Oh, my God.
I
hate you, Adrian.
I got one to add.
Hold on. We got a special birthday wish for the NWO.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan here, wishing you a very happy Hulkamania birthday. Stay young, my brother. What you gonna do?
Hulk Hogan, birthday wish to the NWO. Yes. All right, Heath, what's yours?
July 13th, 2014.
Yes.
Jason Halpert reaches number one on my list.
Yes, I'm back.
Can you play yourself some Bischoff music, Jason? I'm back. And better than ever.
Hold on. I will. This one right here? That's not it.
Nah, forget it. It's got past.
Yeah, it has.
Anyway, that's all I have for this week in wrestling history.
All right.
That was good. I like that that new segment. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really need to relabel
it. I'm back! And I'm better than ever.
It's good to be on top again, Heath.
Yeah. Sure, number one on my list.
Who's number two?
I guess that would be Mike still.
Okay, good. Good. Good to be back. All right, so we are going to figure out where I am on our list of sounds and move on.
Yeah. Wait. Thugonomics?
So, yes.
You think you're untouchable.
WWE.com put out an article this week. And it's about John Cena.
Okay.
And I can't fucking stand My Time Is Now. So I do like this. I do like this music.
Yeah, but better do Thugonomics.
Yes. However, I did hear that he got sued for being for malpractice, and he is no longer a doctor of Thugonomics.
Gotcha.
So he is, however, still a nurse practitioner of Thugonomics.
He is. But he's no longer a doctor of Thugonomics, so.
He's an RN.
Yes. All right. So WWE put on an article on John Cena.
Okay.
And they say, where does John Cena rank among the longest reigning WWE? Well, obviously, this isn't what they mean. Reigning WWE World Heavyweight Champions. So they're taking all their championships, I guess. Not really sure. I agree with Axl Rocks. Too long. And you know what else I hate is I'm sitting here trying to go through the list, and a pop-up for the network comes up, and, yeah, interrupts me. So number 10 on the list.
Okay.
Macho Man Randy Savage spent 520 days as WWE champion.
Ooh, now, I guess we're talking just WWF championship or WWE championship or the World Heavyweight Championship.
This is, I'm assuming, this is just the WWE... I don't know. Because they said World Heavyweight, so I guess they're counting the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship together.
Okay, I wonder if they're adding in WCW Championship time like Randy Savage had spent, but I don't know if they're doing that or not.
I don't think so, because it doesn't mention anything about the WCW Championship in here.
Yeah, and Ric Flair would be on this list if that was the case.
So, Randy Savage, 520 days as champion over two title reigns, and his longest one was 371 days.
That would be the WrestleMania 4 to WrestleMania 5, if I remember correct.
Not quite CM Punk level. Number 9, Stone Cold Steve Austin, 529 days as champion. Six title reigns, and his longest was 175 days.
Okay.
Not a bad run.
Number 8,
Triple H.
539 days as champion. Number of reigns, 8. His longest one was 210 days.
Wow.
So,
you know, I'm surprised that he wasn't champion longer back in the day, because it really felt like he had the title for fucking ever back then.
I know. Oh, it was in 2008 was his, Yeah. That's when he was champ. And I think that's why, because it was 2008 where it was just like, oh my God, I'm tired of him having the title.
It wasn't 2008 when I'm talking about. I'm talking about back in 2001, 2002.
Oh, that too. Yeah, I know.
I didn't feel so bad in 2008. It didn't seem like it was that long. I don't know.
Jumping ahead of Triple H on the list at number 7 is Randy Orton, 609 days as champion. He has 8 title reigns, and his longest one was 203 days.
Wow.
I didn't know he was higher on the list than Triple H.
Apparently.
Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Number 6, Bret Hart, 654 days as champion. His 6 title reigns, with his longest one being 248 days.
Way to go, Bret. Ranking higher than Triple H.
What the? Good job.
Huh?
Nothing. Never mind.
Oh, okay. All right. Next one. Pedro Morales, 1,027 days as champion. One title reign at 1,027 days. He carried the WWE title from February 8th, 1971 until December 1st,
1973. Wow.
Yeah. The third most impressive title reign on this list.
I was going to say, that is a very impressive title reign.
Number four, John Cena, 1,100. Well, that's different because this was on the 6-7. So, John Cena, 1,204 days as champion as of today.
Damn.
12 title reigns, so they're not taking... Yeah, no, I guess it's only the WWE title.
Okay.
All right. He has 12 title reigns, is that? And his longest individual reign was 380 days. Ugh.
Wow.
That was a long year. That was horrible.
When was that?
If I remember right, it was back... It would have been the year he was fighting Umaga and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Number three on the list... Bob Backlund, 2,000.
Jump up on this one, Jesus.
I know. From 1,200 days to 2,138 days as champion. Number of title reigns, 2. His longest one was 2,135 days.
Now, repeat the number of how long he did have it.
2,138 days, total days as champion. His longest reign was 2,135 days as champion.
So that means
he beat Bret Hart at Survivor Series 1994, and then lost the title at a house show to Kevin Nash. Yep. Like 3 days later. Yeah. So.
So one of the longest title reigns, but yet also one of the shortest title reigns.
He
combined
not,
together,
not the shortest. Not he the won the title from Superstar Billy Graham in 1978, and held the title until he lost to the Iron Sheik in 1984.
Damn. That is a long-ass title reign.
Number two. Hulk Hogan, 2,185 days as champion. 6 title reigns. His longest individual reign was 1,474 days.
Jesus. When was that from?
That would be when he won the title in 84 and until then.
So he held the title up until he lost it, I guess... From 84 up until... Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Okay, wow.
Yeah. And number one.
This I gotta hear.
Really, you didn't know? Bruno Sammartino at 4,040 days. 2 title reigns, as long as one was 2,803 days.
Let me do the math on that there real quick for you. Until you just realize, 2,083 days is... 5 years and 8 months.
Damn. Just to put that in light, the accumulation of all 12 of Cena's runs is just beginning to flirt with the 1,237 days of San Martino's second shorter stretch as champion.
Yeah.
Damn.
Cena has a long way to go if he's going to reach that.
Hopefully it'll never happen.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. So, yeah, it was a very interesting list. That was
indeed.
I came across that and wanted to bring that up. Also, we have something from the What the Fuck files here.
Okay.
I've got to get it pulled up here. Oop, wrong button. Totally not what I hit. I hate my phone sometimes. All right, give me a second here. Was scrolling across this at work the other day when I was on lunch and saw it. And I'm like, what the fuck? This was reported on Wednesday. Christopher Donnelly, a prisoner in the state of Pennsylvania, recently filed a lawsuit against WWE and Natalya. Donnelly actually made a several page handwritten filing and alleged that Natalya is an evil dominatrix that abused him mentally, physically, and emotionally. From 2005 to 2009, Donnelly alleged that Natalya aborted his child, beat him numerous times at hotels across the country, used obscenities such as "This is my dungeon, you little bitch." You know, she could tell me that all she wanted. Oh, I'd just be like, "Yes, ma'am." And other "quote unquote" naughty acts, according to the complaint. The man claimed that Natalya also forced him to prostitute himself. He said he wanted $250,000 in damages for mental and psychological trauma, spelling psychological wrong in the filing. If he didn't receive the $250,000 through the lawsuit, he threatened to take the complaint to higher courts and the media. On July 7th, a judge in Florida wrote that the filing was filed with delusional language and went on to dismiss the lawsuit on several grounds.
Wow.
Yeah. You know... I should sue her for $250,000 for not sucking my dick. How about that?
Wow.
Yes, definitely high on the what the fuck files.
Yes.
Well, Jason, if I'm right, we have two things left to get through here, don't we?
We do. No, we got three things left.
Okay. What are we doing next?
Well, I've got another list here. Because I was wanting to do this one last week, but I forgot to. All right. These are 10 wrestling dream matches that will most likely never happen.
Okay.
I'm going to blurt them out. I want you guys to A, pick the winner, if you can.
Okay.
And B, tell me if it was would be a match. We're going to forget that the network existed. Okay?
Okay.
And you would have to tell me whether or not you think you would buy the pay-per-view for this match, or if it would influence your decision for the pay-per-view. Okay? Number 10, Samoa Joe versus Taz. Obviously, this is putting everyone in their prime. So, Samoa Joe versus Taz. Adrian, who would win that match?
My gut instinct is to say Taz.
All right. Heath, I know Samoa Joe's a TNA guy. You probably don't know a whole lot about him.
Yeah, I don't.
Think Taz, only bigger. And not as
good. Yeah, see, my first thought was Samoa Joe.
All right. I will have to go with the human suplex machine, Taz. Now, would this match make it to where you would buy the pay-per-view? Adrian?
No, I probably would not buy the pay-per-view for this. I would still probably download it through legal means.
Okay. Heath?
Yeah, I would not buy it.
Same here. Stone Cold, number 9. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Goldberg. Heath?
Stone Cold.
Adrian?
I'd have to agree, Austin.
Yeah, I got to go with Austin as well.
I would buy this pay-per-view for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, because this is Goldberg, WCW undefeated streak Goldberg. So
okay.
I would go for this because I would love to see that match.
Oh, yeah.
Number 8, Cena against Hogan. I'm going to go Hogan.
If we're talking prime?
Yes.
Hogan.
I'm going to say John Cena.
Really?
I think he would probably win. I think Hogan would put him over.
Not Hogan now. Not even Hogan 15 years. Hogan in his prime would not have put Cena over.
All right. Now, is there a time frame we're saying this match is happening in, or no?
What do you mean?
Like, what year would this match be happening, even if they're both in a prime? I mean, are we talking like right now?
We're going to pretend that they're both in the mid-stretch of their prime right now.
Then I would have to say Cena.
All right. I would definitely buy this pay-per-view because this is a match of historic proportions right there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's a twice-in-a-lifetime match.
It is. Number 7, Hogan against Steve Austin.
Ooh. You know, I got to go with Steve Austin.
Adrian.
This is a tough choice. I'm going to go Hogan, though.
I'm going to go Austin. And yes, I would buy this match.
Oh, God, yes. I would want to buy this match more than I would the Cena-Hogan match.
By the way, this is not even the... we're going to see Austin a couple more times on this list. Okay. Number 6. Steve Austin, Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that would definitely be a toss.
Lesnar!
Since we are talking about Lesnar in his prime, yeah, I got to give more of the edge to Lesnar.
All right.
Yeah.
I would buy this pay-per-view. Pretty much the rest of these I would probably buy.
Yeah.
All right, number 5, The Rock versus Shawn Michaels.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is.
Ooh.
Oh. HBK.
Is this match happening at WrestleMania?
Yes. Oh, we're just going to pretend these are all WrestleMania matches.
Okay, fine.
Damn.
I'm going to pick The Rock.
All right. Heath. Come on.
I'm going to go with Mr. WrestleMania.
All right. Here's another tough one, guys. Daniel Bryan versus Shawn Michaels.
Hey, by the way, you didn't tell us as far as your thoughts on that last one.
Yeah, it is at HBK.
Oh, you did HBK. Yeah. Okay.
Daniel Bryan against Daniel Bryan. Trainer versus trainee.
I'll go Daniel Bryan on this. And the reason why I'm picking against Shawn Michaels in these is more to the fact that Shawn Michaels performs outstanding in these big matches. Didn't often win them, though.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go Daniel Bryan as well.
Daniel Bryan, yeah.
All right. You guys ready for this one?
Okay.
Take about 20 years off of both these guys.
Okay.
Okay.
The Undertaker versus Sting.
This is the one match that we've been wanting to see for a long ass time.
I would just write the check to WWE. If this would happen 20 years ago, or fuck, even after they bought WCW, yeah.
It's like, shut up, take my money.
Yeah. I think the Stinger would have pulled this one out.
I disagree. Taker all the way, man.
You know,
Stinger went toe to toe with Vader.
Because of where we're saying this would happen at, then you can't pick against the Undertaker WrestleMania.
I gotta tell you,
the streak never exists.
I was gonna say this with something like this.
This happens at Battleground, Adrian.
I would still pick the Undertaker.
Okay.
I actually would pick Sting on this one.
All right.
I think he would actually, Prime versus Prime, I really think Sting would have been the one to actually defeat him.
All right. Number two, Daniel Bryan against Kurt Angle.
Ooh, God.
I know, right?
Ooh.
I'm going to say.
Which match number is this one?
Number two. I'm going to say it doesn't matter who wins this match because it's going to be.
The whole universe wins on this one.
I can see these two going 60 plus.
I would say Kurt Angle, probably.
You got two of the best Mac technicians going against each other. They could possibly go to like a 60-minute time limit or something.
Yeah, they could. Damn. I got to go with Angle.
All right.
It would be one of those where it'd be very close. If they had it as like a last man standing match, I guarantee you it would have been like one of those things where just at the very last second, just barely somebody got up.
Yeah. Number one. You guys want to take a guess?
I'm not even going to try.
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to say CM Punk versus Kurt Angle.
Close. Really close. CM Punk against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh.
I'm going to go Punk.
Because, yeah, we're talking Punk in his prime.
Which really wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
All right, is it Punk with or without Paul Heyman?
With?
With Paul Heyman, I'll say Punk wins.
Definitely Punk.
All right.
I think Paul Heyman gives him the advantage over Austin that he would probably need to win.
Yes, absolutely.
If Paul Heyman's not there, I would probably give the edge to Austin slightly.
All right. That was a fun list. I've actually been wanting to do that for a couple weeks now and just keep forgetting to do it, keep pushing it off, so I was determined to do it tonight.
Yeah.
Moving on, Adrian, you have a... this one is your topic. This might have been the one you were thinking that we were going to. So there are gimmicks in wrestling.
Yes.
There are good gimmicks in wrestling.
Yes.
Like the Brood.
That was a very good gimmick.
It was. Second greatest faction of all time, according to WWE Countdown.
That's your point.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Anyway,
so you've got still good gimmicks. Nonetheless.
You have great gimmicks like that. All right. You really do. However, sometimes we have ones that just aren't as good.
Very true.
And tonight we're going to talk about each of us made a list of our top five gimmicks that didn't work. Adrian, would you like to start this one off here?
Sure, I will start us off. Number five on my list is a guy that was pretty memorable as himself and as Diesel, Kevin Nash. In the mid-90s, there was not really a bigger big man star really going on at that time. But before that, he had a great and powerful gimmick.
Vinny Vegas.
No, not even that.
Oh. Two?
Oz.
Oh, the great and powerful. That's right. God, that was terrible. You know, there's that. I would love to have been a fly on the wall for the conversation they had with Brodus Clay. Hey, you're going to be the Funkasaurus. I would have loved to have been there for Nash. Hey, you're going to be Oz from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that, I mean, it just, it's so fucking ridiculous, man.
It was. He came out with a ridiculous helmet thing, and it was fucking terrible.
It was quite horrible. I'm trying to find a decent picture I can post in the chat for it.
My number five actually got, oh shit. Yeah, I believe it was a WCW star. Actually almost got them sued. Arachnaman.
What?
That was Scott Armstrong. WWE referee Scott Armstrong dressed up in a suit that looked a little too much like Spider-Man. Oh my god, there it is, Heath.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Kevin Nash in the early 90s in WCW.
Took that helmet and hat off and it was bad.
Wow.
So yeah, they actually issued.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they actually issued a cease and desist to WCW because it looked too much like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, Heath, you're number five.
Mine is nails.
You didn't dig nails?
No, I.
That
did
led
not.
Up to the epic match at SummerSlam between Bossman and Virgil and Nails. SummerSlam '92.
I mean, that was literally Nails was one of the best wrestlers ever.
He was. Adrian, you're number four.
All right, my number four. You know, I like Santino Marella okay most time. He's a good comedy character. But I got to draw the line at my number four, Santina Marella.
Former women's champion, Santina.
Yeah, that was a...
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the man dressing up like a woman to win the women's title. It just...
I got you. Go ahead, finish.
It never turns out really good ever. I mean, Harvey Whippleman, if you remember back in the day, that was a horrible one, too.
Harvina. Heath, you're up.
All right. God, yeah.
Miss WrestleMania.
God, I remember that. That was horrible. My number four is Fantasio.
Oh God, the wrestling magician.
One time only appearance.
Yes, he made like the fucking ribbon come out of his mouth, and it was ridiculous.
Yes, if you actually want to see the picture, right there.
That was on WWE Countdown, I believe, or Legends of Wrestling, or something like that.
Yeah. The gimmick was that of a mime / magician who came to the ring with no entrance music.
No, it was
wore a mask but had identical face paint underneath.
Yeah, it was stupid. My number four, not quite as ridiculous as that. However, just as dumb. Max Moon. You remember that? Guy came out, he had this ridiculous spacesuit on, he had a ridiculous flamethrower thing on his wrist. It was kind of really dumb. And Vince, this was one of Vince's babies for his character. Originally, it was supposed to be Conan that wrestled under there. But Conan left and they had someone else wrestle. And just, it never worked out.
The story behind it is that Conan saw the costume and goes, I'm not fucking wearing that.
Yeah. All right, Adrian, you're number three.
All right. My number three, really, it's just the whole group.
Okay.
It's, I gotta put the Dungeon of Doom on here. I mean, you basically take the worst collection of some of the worst like wrestling gimmicks ever. You have the Zodiac, which is Brutus Beefcake in like black and white face paint. You have Kamala dressed done up. You have the Barbarian. You got Kevin Sullivan with like the reverse Hulkamania colors with like the lightning bolt on his forehead. I don't know what's going on with that. The backstage things or whatever when they actually went to the Dungeon of Doom on Saturday. Oh, it got so horrible.
It was. It was terrible. Heath.
All right. My number three, the Boogeyman.
Oh, you sucked. Boogeyman wasn't that bad. He ate the thing off of Jillian Hall's face.
Oh, God, dude, I remember really? That. It was horrible.
Oh, God. Yeah. Come on.
My number three, Battle Cat. He was the guy that dressed up like a cat and went ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's kind of bad.
Yeah. Died back in the gate. Sorry.
Leon, I forgot about Earthquake dressed up as the shark.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible, too. All right, Adrian, go.
All right, we on my number two?
Yes.
All right, number two on my list, the wrestling hockey player.
The goon.
His big wrestling strategy was he would get his opponent outside the ring, cross-check them into the stairs, and then run back in the ring so he didn't get counted out.
Wow. All right, Heath, you're number two.
Santa Claus.
All right.
Oh, God.
The evil Santa.
Yes, the evil twin brother of Santa.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Good thing he went to Balls Mahoney.
My number two was a WCW guy again. The one and only Kiss Demon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, enough said. And Adrian, you're number one.
My number one, I feel like I might not be the only one that came to this conclusion, but okay. The giant with the airbrush tabs, Giant Gonzalez. Giant Gonzalez.
That is also my number one. Terrible. Heath.
Mantar.
Ah, was terrible. We just by the wire.
Yeah.
You finished your last word right when the timer
right when the timer was going out.
Well, hey, Jason.
What?
I hate to break up here, but do we want to give our payback our battleground predictions?
Oh, son of a bitch. God damn it.
So technically we win.
I fucking forgot about battleground.
But you know what? At least we can go through this fairly quickly.
God damn it.
All right, I'll start it off here. The battleground battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship. Do you need me to tell you who's in it, Ian?
No. I go Sheamus, because I still think they're going to combine the two.
I'm tossed in the air. I don't know if it's going to be Cesaro or Bo Dallas.
If it's Bo Dallas, God
help us all if it's Bo Dallas.
I'm going to stick with Cesaro.
All right, Heath.
Looking at the picture there. Yeah, I got to go with Cesaro.
I hope it's Cesaro, too, if it's not Sheamus. All right, next we've got Chris Jericho against Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's going to win this one.
I think Wyatt loses by disqualification, and this match gets stretched out until SummerSlam for the feud.
It's kind of a toss-up. It's either Bray Wyatt's going to win it, or it's going to be by disqualification as far as Jericho winning.
All right.
It's going to be one or the other. But, yeah, the feud will continue on to SummerSlam.
The women's title match. Paige against AJ Lee.
Paige heel turn for the win.
Paige heel turn. She doesn't win.
I got to go with Paige heel turn. She doesn't win.
All right. Dean Ambrose against Seth Rollins.
This might be match of the night, maybe.
It's probably going to be match of the night. I see... You know, I kind of have a suspicion that Seth Rollins might get himself disqualified not too long into this match. Kind of like what Edge did at New Year's Revolution when he fought Ric Flair for the Intercontinental title back in 2006.
Okay. Five,
something like that. When he got himself disqualified and then cashed in later in the night.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
I think Dean Ambrose pulls it out.
All right.
I think it's going to be close, but yeah, Dean Ambrose wins it.
All right. The Usos against the Wyatts for the tag titles.
2 out of 3 falls match.
Oh, that's right, it is.
So we will have a one match go back and forth between them.
I think the Wyatts pull this one out. Your winner's a new tag team champions, the Wyatts.
God,
I think the Usos continue to hold into the belts. I'm going to go with the Usos.
I'm going with the Wyatts.
And finally, our main event of the evening. The Fatal 4-Way match. The Big Red Machine. The Big Red Retard. Kane against Randy Orton against Roman Reigns. Not getting a title shot. Roman Reigns getting a title shot. And John Cena.
I can't pick against Cena at this point. I think they're going to go with Cena versus Lesnar for the title at SummerSlam.
Yeah, Cena's going to win it.
Yeah.
However, I would still love to see fucking Seth Rollins cashing in. That's just me. I think it would be great. Oh, sorry. Sound effects are off tonight. Oh, yes. Shit. One other thing. Since we're already over. Adrian, why does Bad News Barrett not go do the Make-A-Wish things? Let's hear that one real quick.
All right. Let me get that up here. Give me just a second. Coming from the most trusted wrestling
news site out there, kayfabenews.com. The most trusted source in wrestling news.
Yes.
God, I just saw the top of the page that made me laugh.
Oh, boy.
It's a...
Great Kali demoted to adequate Kali.
Oh, that's funny.
Illegal foreign object gets U.S. citizenship. Do you got pulled up yet, Adrian?
Yeah, I do. Give me a second, though. My contact went kind of wonky.
Okay, I got one real quick.
Yes, we
got
to do this one.
Butt dialing Road Dog's ass, call somebody. After years of telling fans that their asses had better call someone, professional wrestler Road Dog was amused by the irony when his own ass, through a fluke known as butt dialing, called someone. Well, I'll be damned, said the veteran wrestler, retrieving his phone from his back pocket to discover that his ass had called longtime tag partner Billy Gunn. According to friends of Road Dogg, his ass actually calls someone quite frequently because he refuses to enable the lock function on his phone. If that guy butt dials me one more time, I'm going to have two words for him. Lock it, said Billy Gunn. Road Dogg, who always assumed that your ass better call someone was just a figure of speech, surprised to learn that butt dialing is a fairly common phenomenon among those who carry their phones in their back pockets. Oh, said Road Dogg upon learning that. I didn't know.
No, God.
Yes. We had to do that one. We had to do that one.
All right. Make-A-Wish visit from Bad News Barrett goes poorly.
It's fucking terrible already.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation issued a policy after it became clear that sending Bad News Barrett to visit a sick child in the hospital had not been properly thought out. In hindsight, we realize it was not a good idea, said Randall McPherson, a spokesperson for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Professional wrestlers have a long history of granting wishes of sick children through the foundation, and popular stars like John Cena have brightened the lives of hundreds of ill children. But Sidney Bad News Barrett, a British pessimist who doesn't sugarcoat the harsh realities of life, did not result in a happy occasion for little 9-year-old Timmy Lawrence. Barrett began pounding his gavel on the armrest of Timmy's wheelchair, demanding decorum, and then gruffly declaring, "I'm afraid I've got some bad news."
Oh my God!
Barrett then spent the next 15 minutes outlining the harsh realities of Timmy's prognosis, the enormous financial burden his hospitalization is putting on his parents, and the unpleasant side effects of his medication and other pieces of unwelcome prognostication.
Wow.
Barrett was eventually escorted out of the room when Timmy began crying. To make it up, Timmy, the Make-A-Wish Foundation promised a visit from John Cena, but it only made the boy cry harder until the offer was changed to a visit with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That is fucking terrible.
And on that note,
we're going to end the show. So, if you have a problem with something we saw on the show, you can send us an email at thehourbomb@gmail.com. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and give us a show review. We'd like that.
Yes, we do.
It is so weird not doing the show plugs at the end of the show.
I know.
Head to TWRnetwork.com. Check out all the shit that Paul Jordan puts up there.
Hard working man.
And keep an eye out for upcoming good changes to the website.
Yes.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
All right. So, in honor, I was the big loser of the week. I only pulled in 10 points this week. In honor of Bret Hart's epic return to Monday Night Raw, I have a special heartfelt song sung by the one and only Bret the Hitman Hart.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It was a very good love song.
Yes.
It actually helped Heath through some very hard times in life.
Yes.
His high school times, his middle school times, and those few times that his right hand actually told him no. And then it wanted to break it off with him.
And that's why you're number one.
I know. So, once again, I'm your host. Why is that not going up? Oh, there we go. I am your host, the illustrious Jason Halbert, saying, adios, motherfuckers. Wow, it is. We've got one hell of a lightning show outside all of a sudden.
Anyway,
adios, motherfuckers.
The big bad booty daddy!
The big A, Adrian Masters, would once again like to remind you to not point your laser pointers at passing airplanes.
I guess they don't want you to blind an airplane that could be hit, covered up as a transformer.
I guess. I don't fucking get it, man. I don't know.
No, apparently if it actually gets a laser light into the cockpit.
I get that, asshole. I'm just saying, why in the beginning of Transformers?
I know.
Anyway.
Any movie, not just Transformers.
No, I thought it was Transformers.
No, okay. It was not just Transformers. No. Trust me.
And the Jizz Muffer.
Sweet Heath, Jason Heath, saying so long.
I just want to point out, we started the show talking about the goddamn laser pointer, and we ended the show talking about the goddamn laser pointer. We will try to do this again next week. Until then, you've been
our bond. Toodles.
Walk away and let her love again. But anyway,